So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
Well, my story starts, I was born and raised on the west side of San Antonio in the early 80s, 90s, where drugs, violence, prostitution, and murder take place, right? Kind of the way it is now still, right? My mother was born and raised there. She, right out of high school, got married, found herself in California, pregnant, soon to be back into San Antonio, and divorced. So she met my dad. My dad was working at Pizza Hut, and they became, you know, involved. 3 years later, I'm born. Then 3 years after that, my younger brother's born. So 9 years after that, she's divorced, and twice. And I remember my dad walking down the stairwell in the courts and leaving. My mom yelling at her, yelling at him, you know, don't come back, right? So there we are, you know, single mom in the west side with three boys. And three semi-good boys. We were kind of good, but we were kind of bad, right? And but she was there. She was there every morning making us breakfast, welcoming him home from school, making us lunch, and cooking us dinner. And then, you know, she found herself in two relationships shortly after my dad. And both of those relationships were extremely bad, right? And filled with physical and emotional abuse. And we saw that every day of our lives. We witnessed her being punched in the face, kicked on the floor, spit on, and anything you can imagine happened in front of us. There was two guys, like I said, one Jesse, who pulled her in the car one time, man, and by her hair and dragged her down the street. And we were all outside playing and with our friends, and we see her going by, holding on for her life. And she lets go, or he lets her go, and she hits the floor and rolls and hits a parked car. And there we are running towards her and crying, and she's crying, and she's all bloody and road rashed, and they were all there hugging her, and we walk back to our home. Shortly after that, they tried one more time. He came around one more time, but it was already ending. After that, she met this guy named Renee, who was a mean man, and he used to do this in public and took it to another level. You know, one time she shared a story with me that they were out, you know, having some drinks at a place, and he comes back from the restroom and he tells her, "Hey, get up, you know, we're leaving." And she gets up and walks out the door with him. And he kicks her in the back of the knees and drops her onto a gravel parking lot and then starts kicking her. And he's pulling her hair, gets on top of her, punching her. She has no idea what she did. She's just taking it. And she's screaming and yelling, and no one's coming, right? No one comes to help her. So he pulls her into the car and continues beating her. And she's like, this is the worst she's ever taken. And they take off. They're going down Highway 90, and he continues to punch her in the face. And she's like, I think he's going to kill me, right? And so she opens the door, jumps out on the highway, going, you know, whatever, 60, 70 miles an hour, jumps out and rolls. And luckily, one of the vehicles behind them stops and gets her, brings her in. And she finds her way back home. And I've always been a light sleeper, right? So I'm like 13, and I see the lights come up the driveway and into my room. And I hear her come in, and she goes to her room, door closes, and I start hearing her crying. Like she's crying, and I go to the room, knock on the door, and I'm like, "Mom, are you okay?" And she's like, "I'm okay, mijo, go back to bed." But I know she's not, right? So I open the door, and I walk in. I turn the light on, and she's sitting there full of blood, eyes swollen shut, nose broken, rash all up and down her face and her arms, her legs. And she did not look like my mom, right? And so I started cleaning her up, and we both end up falling asleep. And I wake up to punches to my face, and she's on top of me, and she was a little lady, but she was freaking tough, man. She was like just punching me, and I'm yelling, "Mom, it's me, it's Roy." And she's like, she snaps out, and she says, I'm sorry, mijo, I thought you were Renee." And so we clean her up. I call her cousin, call EMS. They come pick her up, take her to the hospital. That was kind of the end of their relationship as well. He came around one more time, but it was done. About 6 months after that, maybe 8 months, she met Eric, who eventually becomes my stepfather. And they were married for 18 years. 10 grandchildren later, she's an awesome grandma. Was okay mom, but an awesome grandma. And I think she learned, right? She learned with us, and then she made it right with them. But she started feeling sick, right? She would get up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom, and she would get dizzy, and she started falling. So they took her to the ER a couple of times, and she was in, you know, 56 years old. And they did some blood work. They find out she has leukemia. And so she started fighting leukemia, started battling that with some chemo. And she started doing good. And her blood levels went down. She was able to get a blood transfusion. And around this time, I would see on Facebook a bunch of my buddies that were running, you know, 5Ks and half marathons and marathons. And they would do like, hey, in memory of somebody or in honor of somebody. So I asked my brothers, I was like, hey, would you guys want to do a half marathon for, you know, in honor of mom? And we can have her at the finish line and barbecue and have some beers and just have a good time for her, right? So they said yes. So we started working out. We started going from 0 miles to, we got up to like 10 miles together, and we were doing good. And this turned out to be around late January, where she got the bad news that her levels were all the way up again, and the leukemia came back pretty strong. And at this time, she was really, really weak, so there was no other options for her. The chemo would kill her if she went through another round. So she came home to hospice, and 10 days later, she passed away. So since then, I continue to run. Now I'm like, man, I run every day almost. I know I'm a gordito, but I freaking, I drink beer and freaking eat tacos. So, but I can go, right? I can push. So I've done like 40 marathons and ultras and 100Ks and 100 milers. And every time I'm in a tough spot and I can't push anymore, I think of her and she pushes me. Thanks.
I told you it was...